Well, hello and welcome to Enlighten, and I think we're on episode number 11.
Oh yes, 11, that's right, yep.
Lucky number 11, maybe. So how are you today, Donna? Let's do a little bit of banter before we begin.
I'm okay, I'm getting used to not my usual...
Going anywhere?
Not going anywhere. It's funny how you can kind of get used to a certain rhythm of your life, isn't it? A certain routine.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to still motivate myself to do things a bit more, you know, and try and get that structure we were talking about last time to my day.
Yeah. Talking of structure, do you know what I've been doing? I've been using an app called Time Tree. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't actually. No,
it's like saying, have you heard of this app? And there's billions of them. Like, but I'm using it to actually schedule my entire day. That sounds a bit dull, but no, it's really working for me. It's like really, really, it's something I really enjoy putting together the night before. And I do use iCal, of course, for all the kind of general stuff, you know, when to put your bin out. But this has kind of become my isolation calendar, you know, I'm putting in blocks of what to do each day. And it's really sort of satisfying. So if I look at, I don't know if I should tell you everything on it, but like if I look at today's, it was meditate and do some morning pages. It was to do my Frank Fit class, which is my calisthenics class. So I did that on my Facebook this morning. And then the next thing is record a podcast. So that's us here now. We're on schedule according to my blocking off of time. And then I've got some other stuff, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 other things to do during the day. But they're not like ridiculous things, but it's nice to sort of at the end of the night look at it and go, I did all of that. This whole thing of scheduling your day is actually really satisfying, and it does make you feel good, and maybe even helping me sleep better at night. I do feel well rested as well.
Yeah, no, I've definitely got better sleep. I find now what I would do is I try to go to bed early-ish at about 10 or 11, stick to that sort of time, half 10, 11. But I find that I wake up normal kind of time at about 5:30 or so. But then,
oh, that's early.
Yeah, but then I'll wake up for a bit and then I'll go back over again and sleep again for another couple of hours.
Let me ask you, do you pick your phone up at 5:30 in the morning and start farting about, or do you not do that?
Yes, of course. Of course I do.
And calling you out.
I do. Yeah, I do. But it's not like it makes me that I have to get up or anything like that. It actually puts me over again. I get tired again and then just sleep again.
Oh, right. Okay. Puts you over.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm doing, I don't know if you saw me put it on Instagram, is the Daily Stoic Alive Time Challenge. Did you see that?
What is it? What is it you're doing?
So, you know, I was talking about stoicism last time, wasn't it last time? I think it was. So this is a challenge, and you're given a new habit to work on every day for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
And the basic premise is, you know, what do you want to do with your time if you're self-isolating, which we all pretty much are? Is your time going to be dead time or alive time? So it's making it all about alive time, you know, getting your shit done. Do not waste days watching Netflix all day.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to do a bit of that. Like, everybody's normal and naturally you want to do a bit of, you know, watch something mind numbing and that doesn't really involve much brain power. But what are you doing for the majority of your day? And I think what I would also say is, how many times have you said, oh, I don't have time for that, you know, before all of this? I mean, I've said it, I'm sure you said it, you know, you don't have time for it. We now have spare time.
Yeah.
And maybe not if you're doing homeschooling. I know some people are under pressure and they have other things to do, but I would say a huge chunk of people have more spare time. Even in the evening, you're not going out and socializing, you're in your house. So I kind of urge people to use it wisely and see what they can do. But my challenge, I'm only on day 2 or 3, I think it is. So day 1 was physical exercise. So I'm trying to do something every day. So that could be my class that I'm doing, or yoga. I did a yoga class recently as well, or I'll go for a walk, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Day 2, which actually I had already done, which was create a schedule and stick to it. So that's nice. And then today, I haven't read it yet, but the title is Write a Letter to Check In on Someone. So that's, watch this space. I don't know what that one involves yet. So we've got 14 days of that. So I think whenever you are indoors, it's nice to have a bit of a challenge to work on. So how are you guys going to use your time today? Is it alive or is it dead?
Yeah, the other thing that I've kind of noticed as well recently from TV and from people, everyone seems to have to be doing something. Do you know what I mean? It's like why are you not doing something? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? You need to do this. You need to do that. Do you know, like there was a guy on the TV earlier was like, I've just created my own home studio and now I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be doing that. And I don't understand why I didn't do this before. Do you know, there's no, like in a way it's kind of made me realize that everyone seems to have to be doing something all the time. Do you know, there's, it's like, I almost feel guilty that if I don't do, you know, if I'm just kind of, no, I'm doing things like that are a wee bit more mind-numbing. Like I've started knitting, which has actually been it's actually quite good because I started it. Well, I mean, it looks terrible. Like it looks shit as anything, but it's actually very therapeutic. It's kind of mind-numbing. Yeah. You're just kind of just like, you're just doing it. But while you're doing it, you're kind of thinking about other stuff. You know, you're kind of doing a wee bit of mindfulness in a way because you're just kind of, because it's not, doesn't take any kind of effort to do. You're just doing it and then.
But you are sort of in the present moment.
I do find that I have a bit of a guilt in a way as well, that I'm not being as productive as maybe I could be. So I'm kind of feeling like, why am I not, you know, do you know what I mean? Do you know, I think there's maybe a lot of people out there feeling like that too, that they're just feeling like.
But who have you got to answer to? It's only yourself. Nobody knows what you're doing in your house. So it's your own inner voice having that argument.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
And then it's being reinforced maybe by other people in like on TV or whatever.
Ignore TV for a while. TV. Do what you want to do.
Yeah, TV is, the TV's fine. TV's fine if you're, I've kind of like trying to limit it now, the news and everything, because it's just the same news story over and over, and it's actually quite depressing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even that can be almost a waste of time. You know, you spent an hour watching stuff. It's just, okay, I could have learned that in 5 seconds, and it's just them talking about, I don't know, the same thing over and over again. I think I've talked about it on here before, and it might not even be relevant to this situation, but we're very guilty, a lot of us, of doing busy time. You know, you're busy in yourselves, but which is not productive work. It's like, I'm going to spend ages, I'm going to tidy my office. I'm going to tidy all my drawers out, and then I'll be good to work. And it's like, what could you have done in that space of time? Does it really matter? Do you know what I mean? Or like, just different reasons for that. But it's you're all on your own journey, and kind of, you know what lights you up during a day, and do more of that.
It's interesting, the whole how everyone's kind of reacting to it, you know, because I suppose a lot of people, especially people maybe live in London or live in somewhere that's really busy and really full on all the time, just, you know, not having to
it's forcing you to go into yourself. And I sent you a video of Eckhart Tolle, one of our favorites, and did I talk about this before in the podcast?
I don't know if you had said about this. Actually, it was really good meditation that you'd sent.
Wasn't it brilliant?
Yeah, it was really good. So you made me hear fall asleep.
That's his voice. He's thinking the same way as I've been saying, you know, this is time now to build inner resilience. I suppose I should link to the video. It's not that long. It's about 15 minutes. And what I said before was, we're going to come out of this awakened. You know, you'll either take it one way or the other, but I'm going inward. I'm kind of trying to work out how I tick more. And I do think I'm building inner resilience, and I'm hoping it's going to be useful whenever we all come out the other side. It's hard to articulate what he says. It's like going to Billy Connolly gig.
Yeah.
It's like, I laughed, and your friend goes, well, what did he say? And you're like, I don't know, can't remember.
You can't really say it the same way as he does it as well.
I know. He speaks to you. He speaks to stuff that you haven't thought of, and it makes you think, but it's very, very hard to articulate it back. You just got to check it out yourself, I guess.
Yeah, he is good. I think the thing that I went to, it was like an hour and a half. There's a meditation built into it as well. I've actually noticed that if you build into your day a meditation at a certain time, especially at a time, because I would find, for some reason, I find the hardest part of the day is about 3 o'clock. I've noticed this between 3 and about 4 or 5. I find that the hardest part of the day. I don't know why. I feel maybe it should be I should be the most productive at that time, or I don't know. I just get a frustration in me, and it's just like, ugh. So I've started trying to build in like a meditation at that time, just to sit and feel my feelings. why am I so frustrated at 3 o'clock? It's weird.
That's exactly the way to do it, though. Whenever you have that space where you're kind of, oh, I don't know what to do, and then you filled it with something, a good thing.
Yeah. So I know other people would, like, you know, started doing that as well, you know, just doing a meditation at 3 o'clock. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. I shared it with some of our ones, the 10% Happier, do a live YouTube meditation every night this week at 8 o'clock. And yep, I've been doing it. Yeah, Mark's been doing it. They have a new speaker on every night and it's only like 20 minutes all in. It's not a big commitment at all.
Just on their app, is it? Or
No. Go to YouTube and search for them. They have a channel and it'll be the next thing ready to come
8 o'clock? Mm-hmm. I must have a look at that actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, it's great because it is different speakers every time, so they all have different ways of doing it. So yeah, it's fun. Mm. It's fun.
Very good.
Okay, so we've probably talked enough about Corona and the isolation stage, and I'm sure it'll just feed its way back into this conversation again because you can't help it. But the topic in question, guys, we actually have a topic in question today. The importance of being seen and heard. So why do we all need to be seen and heard? You know, no one wants to feel ignored. It doesn't feel good. And I'm sure we've all had that happen to us in one way or another. If you kind of think about it, you know that feeling. You're maybe in a group. Everyone's talking. Perhaps someone talks over the top of you, which drives you crazy. Mm. I was tended on it. We do that all the time on here, but it's okay. We have love for each other. And perhaps you say, no, maybe something else happens. Perhaps you say your piece in the group and then there's no response and people just go on with their own stories. You know, those are two sort of irritating things that can happen. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, I think this is quite important. 9 times out of 10, it's nothing to do with you whatsoever. Everybody is more worried about their own shit, how they're coming across and whether they're being heard or not. So essentially, you know, they're there too worrying about not being seen and heard. I don't know if you agree with that before I move on to my next point, Donna.
Yeah, no, I think it's more that you have to have like an acknowledgement of how you're feeling. And it's almost like you need to have like validation of, you know, it's hard when somebody doesn't validate your feelings. Like, as you say, if you're saying, I feel this way and nobody says anything back to you, that's actually quite hurtful in a way.
Mm.
So, yeah. No, I get it.
I read a paragraph from a lady called Michelle Gibbings. She's got a website and I'll link to it. And she wrote a book called The Career Leap. Not that that's particularly relevant to this, but one of her quotes was, one of the most powerful human needs is that of being seen and heard. We all want to feel valued, important, and that we matter at various times.
Mm.
And what she also went on to say was, this is something that marketers try to tap into all the time as they strive to personalize marketing offers in a way that resonates with us. So that's kind of scary as well. You know, targeted offers to meet your specific needs, speaking to your kind of unanswered chat. I guess sometimes it can be helpful. You know, you might buy stuff and it actually does help, but it's another spin on it. You know, what are they trying to sell me? What are they speaking to? This is your inner critic again as well, which we've talked about.
Yeah, my inner critic was, I only really kind of realized it there. I think it was a few months ago or maybe last year that one of the things that I really find my inner critic pops up is if I feel like somebody hasn't listened to me or acknowledged me. It really actually taps into something that must come from my teenage years or something. I don't know where it comes from. But if I feel someone has ignored me, I just completely go. Even if it's something really stupid, like somebody really. I remember actually going and when I was thinking about like all the different times it's happened to me. You know, it's happened like with relationships and with people and all that kind of stuff. But it's also happened in like really stupid situations, like going into it. Like I remember going in for a coffee once. And into a coffee shop and everyone behind the, I don't know what they were doing, but nobody actually wanted to serve me. It was like really, really, it was really weird. Like they were looking at me, like, and obviously it wasn't their job to serve or whatever, but all of them were looking at me and none of them wanted to serve me. And I remember at the time just feeling like this whole kind of feeling of, what is wrong with you? Like I was really angry about it. I got really angry. Yeah. And actually, I think I might have said something to one of them when they eventually did come over to me. But just like, just to show how, it was really a frustration more than anything that you're not, am I not good enough for you to serve? Or, do you know, it was like some sort of.
But how can that be true if they don't know you? Do you know what I mean? They don't know you from Adam.
I know,
but it's triggered something in you.
Yeah, it triggered something in me that I was like really frustrated. Like, how dare you not acknowledge my presence. Like, what, am I not good enough to be served by you and your stupid sandwich company? It was like, I was really, really angry about it. It was really funny. When I think back on it, I just realized that, you know, like, it was like ages later, when I was thinking about the whole, that inner critic thing, that I remembered that situation. And I remember thinking, why? That was one of the times that I was being like, yeah.
But would you say you've evolved past that now? If it happened to you again, would you be like, well, it's not me? How can it be you, though? As I said, they don't know you. They don't think, oh, there's that asshole coming in again. We're going to ignore her.
I think what would happen now is, if it happened to me now and I got annoyed, I would understand that it was my inner critic kicking in. Whereas at that time, it took me months later to realize that's what it was. Do you know? Yeah. Whereas at the time, I think now, if that was happened again, I would be like, Donna, calm yourself. That's your inner critic.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's not, obviously it's not their job to serve you. Whatever it is you're looking, they're doing their some other job, their manager or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's
the majority of people aren't that mean, I would say, you know, just to flat out ignore you because of you. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So you shared a bit of personal experience there. I kind of thought to myself yesterday, what kind of experience have I got to throw into the mix? I don't know if you know, this is what I was like, but I think I used to be a bit of an attention seeker when I was younger. Could you imagine that before I go on?
I could, yeah.
I kind of like to be right in the middle of things. And I mean, literally, you know, my friends would know this and laugh at it today. I always wanted to be sitting in the middle, you know, chatting. I wanted to be in the middle seat. I wanted to have people to my left, people to my right. I wanted to be right there. And I'm sure that all comes from a fear of being left out. But also, I don't think I ever felt left out. I can't recall a memory, but I am the youngest child and the only girl in our family. So there's probably some sort of attention seeking connection with that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Could be.
I was pretty, you know, happy go lucky when I was younger. And it's just kind of maybe my way of making sure I was included. I don't know. You have to delve in deep to it.
Yeah.
But I probably was spoiled as well. And maybe I expect that type of reaction from people. I'm trying to like tap into it. I don't know. It sounds a bit self-involved, whatever it is I'm trying to say.
It's kind of the opposite to what I was like when I was younger. I was always wanting to be at the edge. I didn't
really
want to be in. Yeah, I was always one of these ones that was like, you know, if somebody was really loud and gregarious, and you know, I would have looked at them and watched them, but I wouldn't have been like that. I wouldn't have wanted to be, I didn't want to be noticed in a way. I just wanted to be kind of hidden in a way. It was, you know, I didn't want people. That's where that whole thing of being seen, I think, is quite interesting. Because in a weird way, when I was younger anyway, I didn't want to get the attention. I didn't want people to look at me and, you know.
Yeah, the wallflower. Well, that's,
I was a bit, yeah.
I'm saying that about myself, but I would say... I'm still an introvert. I've talked about that before, in that I don't want to be around people 24/7. It does sound like more of an extrovert behavior, that, but no, I always was an introvert and I was always shy for sure. But it maybe doesn't reflect on how I got on. I don't know. I felt shy and I felt like I didn't want to speak my mind when I was younger, but I still made up for it in that kind of, when I guess I could describe it as, when I was with friends and people I knew and loved, then I wanted to be that person, you know, when I felt safe.
That's what I was wondering, if it's people that you know and you were friendly with, it might have been different than strangers.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it.
A group of strangers, you wouldn't have been the same way.
No, it's coming back to that feeling safe. I feel safe right now. I'm going to be my bubbly, happy-go-lucky character that's always fighting its way out. Something like that. So do you have anything else you want to say, or do you want to bring it back to the audience? Because I've got a wee spiel.
No, you go for it.
So as I always like to do, and you too, takeaways. So I think this, again, is something I always go back to, is about creating awareness when you're in a situation. You know, the next time you feel this coming on, you know, I'm not being heard, I'm not being seen, when you're with people, stop for a moment and breathe for a second. Not, doesn't have to be audible, like, you know, just kind of take a wee minute and see, and try not to let the monkey mind take over that I've talked about before. You know, like, that probably was what happened to you whenever you're in the cafe. You're just like,
yeah,
just, that jumps in and that takes over everything. Yeah. So can you assess the situation and give yourself some space? And another thing to do, I think this is really important, is to set an example. So make other people feel heard, actively listen to them, and then repeat back to a person what they've said. So, you know, something like, I hear what you're saying, blah, 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 and you felt this way, I understand, or I can try to understand how you feel, you know, that sort of thing. It's not, I don't think it's difficult to do. It's just remembering to practice it. And so if you aren't doing it yourself, how can you expect somebody else to do it to you, you know? So and then I believe if you're spending your time with the right people, it's all going to be reciprocated. But there, of course, there will be people that just will not take your example. But again, then that's that whole let go, I can't control it, let them do their thing, that's their shit, and you get on with yours. Does that sound good?
No, the active listening thing is something obviously that I've been looking at last year when I did my counselling course and everything, and there's some really handy tips that I found. I remember one of the things that they'd said to me was find a friend, right, and ask them what they want. What is it you want for Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. What is it you want? Yeah. And it was really strange because the way that the woman said it, what you might say, I want this. Now, I actually did ask a friend, I don't know whether she'd be listening to this or not, but I asked her what she wanted for Christmas. And I expected something, I don't know, like PlayStation or what, one of them things. But she actually says, I want to learn how to play the violin. And then I thought about it, and then I kind of wanted to get a bit deeper, and then it ended up being a big whole conversation about, you know, how she wanted time for herself, how she wanted the space where she could meet other people, where she wanted to get away from her home situation, where she wanted to learn a new skill. And, you know, actually asking that one wee question just made me think, frig, it's not. So what it started off like, what is it you want? But what is it actually you need? So from asking a question like that, and that's where the active listening comes in, because then you can really get deeper and you can actually understand what someone needs and try to get that out of them. Which actually I learned a lot from that one statement that she had given, you know, in that situation.
That's kind of like, what's the question behind the question? I like that.
Yeah.
There's always a second story. Well, not always, but sometimes there's a second story. It's really opening up your awareness and just taking that wee bit of time. I feel like we're enlightened again today.
Yeah, but the other thing as well I'm thinking is you do have a responsibility to make yourself clear in communicating to other people what your feelings are. I'm terrible at this. I have assertive communication, being clear, sharing to people how you actually feel, you know?
Yeah, people aren't mind readers.
People aren't mind readers. I had a friend recently and I'd made food, and it wasn't until like a couple of days later that they'd said to me, actually, that sauce was really a bit thick that you'd made.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, why didn't you friggin' tell me that at the time? And then I could have done something about it. But now I'm just like, yeah, thanks. So that it was too thick, was it? You know, it's just like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you communicate your feelings?
We're all just too scared. Mm-hmm.
We're just too scared of offending. Obviously, I was too scared to offend my, you know, how I was, you know, my cooking skills, which are terrible. We're doing the best anyway. But it's just like, I think if you want to feel heard, you do have a responsibility to be assertive in how you communicate your feelings.
Yeah, I think I've said before as well, you know, other people's feelings are not your responsibility. And I don't mean that in an asshole-y way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You turn up and be the good person that you know you are. How another person reacts is not your responsibility. You can't fix them, but you can just be the best person you are and share your light.
Yeah. But you do have to share how you feel about stuff as well. And it's something I'm trying to be better at. You know, if something does grate on me or something annoys me, I'd like to be able to be somebody that just shares that.
Right. I'm going to hold you accountable for that.
Yeah.
When we get back out into the world, I'm gonna spot that. I will. I'll be your accountability partner.
But you probably know this about me, that I am somebody that would try to spare people's feelings and not say how I felt.
Yeah.
I've always been like that. Like,
Do you think it's a good quality now?
To be able to spare people's feelings. I think that whole feedback thing is important. Mm-hmm. You need to give feedback because the other person isn't going to learn. I'm not going to learn that I need to make my sauce less thick. How am I going to know for the next time? So you need to tell people, you know, things.
It's how you do it. We've talked about that before.
It's how
before.
You do it, yeah.
Like, there's
it's
people I know it. That have just the subtlety of a brick, and they just, no wonder that the person they're talking to just goes into a shell because they've just articulated it really, really badly. But then again, that's not their fault. They don't probably know any better. That's all they've learnt. So we all have to just kind of work on ourselves and try and come across a little bit better.
It is. It's a skill to it, isn't it? There is a skill to doing it well. You know,
we should create a course, Donna, how to talk to people nicely.
You'd
think it'd be easy, but I don't know, not for some maybe.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, but the whole active listening thing, I think it's a really good thing to try and implement in life. Mm-hmm. Just generally.
Well, guys, I hope we've kind of lightened the mood a bit. I don't know how deep that was. It wasn't deep. It was just kind of informative. But we're trying to take your mind off of the whole isolation thing right now. If you guys want to send us any questions or comments, please do send them along to enlightenedpodcast@gmail.com. But until next time, stay safe, stay happy, and thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.